See how this goes. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm thrilled to be back at RAIN and present some new findings from our 2015 Infinite Dial Report, which we do in conjunction with our friends at Triton Digital. I have a brief, what I think is pretty interesting presentation today that speaks to the Infinite Dial in the car. Our Infinite Dial research series, which dates back to 1998, is based on a telephone survey that's performed to the highest quality standards and is fully projectable to the U.S. population. And the concept behind the Infinite Dial is this notion that radio, the concept of radio sort of expanded beyond the bounds of the AM and FM dials to a world of incredible, boundless choices. And those choices, when they first leaped beyond the AM and FM dial, they leaped onto desktops mostly. Then the smartphone came along and reconnected the notion of audio to mobility, and that has really been revolutionary. But to date, one really key location, has remained pretty resistant to change, and that's the in-car experience. The challenges of bringing new options into the in-car experience, and especially the slowness with which the car market turns over, has made the car market seem pretty resistant to change. But as Sam Cooke said, a change is going to come. And so I decided to go through the 2015 Infinite Dial data set and give people a taste of that change that is going to come. In our survey, we asked people what was the model year of the primary car that they drive or ride in. So I decided to split things up between those whose cars came from 2009 and earlier and those whose cars were from 2010 or later. And so you can see in our survey, 61% of people 18 and older who said that they drive said their primary car that they spend time in is from 2009 and earlier, and about 4 in 10, 39% said 2010 or more recent. On top of that, a little over a year ago, we did some videos with people who had some of the newest cars with the newest technologies, and I want to show some of those videos. So let's start with this one, which is a little introduction to them.
This is my 2013 Toyota Prius.
It seems like this whole dashboard was a lot for me to get used to.
It's called Entune. And when I turn it on, it connects to the car. When I get in the car, if I don't feel like listening to whatever I was listening to last, my iPod, the radio, Pandora, whatever, I can hit the audio button and it'll give me a list of options to choose from. So AM, FM, satellite, all that stuff.
So I like Pandora for longer trips because I don't have to change and it's like a surprise. So then like I'm not thinking about it.
Do you ever listen to just regular radio?
Yes. When Pandora annoys me, I will listen to my satellite radio. Okay. I try and use the stuff that I'm paying for now. Like so satellite, like I paid for now or whatever. And I feel like I can listen to radio anytime. So I try and use all of the features that I paid for this car.
We have Sirius, so that's built in. AM, FM, we can put a CD in, but we don't really use a CD. We can also do Bluetooth stereo, where we'll connect on here, see if I can. And then this doesn't have like Pandora or anything built in, and we actually like that because we use our phones more for everything we're gonna do, so. For instance, like we use a service called RDIO, and with RDIO we can pretty much play anything we want just through the internet.
Unless I'm like dying to hear a song, I don't play the internet radio through the dash.
So let's take a look at what our respondents in our survey told us that they use in their car. And right off the bat, there's a really interesting finding, which is that everything that Nielsen says in their surveys, everything you've seen from us and others with regard to Qume proves true yet again. In fact, we got exactly the same percentage of people with older cars and newer cars telling us that they currently ever use AM, FM radio in their car, 85% in both cases. And so there's no difference at all by the age of the car on whether or not people use radio. We did ask about other things, and you will see that there are differences. And so the people with newer cars are a little less likely to listen to use a CD player, which makes a certain amount of sense. But they're way more likely to jack in their iPod or smartphone into their car. They're way, way more likely to listen to internet radio in their car. And they're way, way, way more likely to listen to use Sirius XM in their car. Those are technical research definitions. But you can see, and the other thing that's obvious here, if you just scan these numbers down the columns and add them up, you see that people with newer cars just told us they use a lot more things, which makes total sense, right? They have a lot more things available to them in their cars, so they're using a lot more things. There's just more things for them to use. But then we went past that, and this is just, do you use it, period? Do you use that thing in your car? But we went past that, and we said, what do you use almost all or most of the times in your car? And here we see some differences. So they were asked, we said, how often do you use that thing? Do you use it almost all the time, most of the time, and several other lower ones? This is the combination of almost all the time and most of the time. So right off the bat, you see a big difference for people with newer cars in terms of listening to AM, FM radio. They're 11 percentage points lower in terms of listening to AM, FM radio all or most of the times in their car. The same pattern, a little less likely to listen to CDs in their cars, and then higher percentages for the iPod and smartphone, a little bit higher for internet radio, but you see it's still low. Internet radio is still relatively low in terms of usage in the car. And the big, big difference on Sirius XM, more than four times more likely, 21% of people with cars from 2010 or newer saying that almost all the time or most of the time they're in their car, they use Sirius XM, only 5% with people with older cars. So these people with newer cars, these new technologies, they use these new technologies. It's not a surprise, perhaps, but it's important to see with regard to the data. And let's see what our interviewees who all have these newer cars and these new options told us about it.
It's changed a lot. I mean, before, like I said, I was listening to the radio, and I kind of just got fed up listening to the same songs over and over and over again. So having my Pandora and my iPod and my phone all kind of right there really just makes the driving a lot easier. I would say my last car was probably 50-50 between like radio and CDs, to be honest.
And now this car?
This car is almost exclusively iPod, except for long drives, then I switched to Pandora.
That's definitely changed. I would listen to FM on a regular basis, and now I generally listen to Sirius or my iPod.
I used to only listen to NPR. I don't really like to listen to like conventional radio and stuff, and you know, messing with commercials and whatever, so I would just always leave it on NPR all the time. And now that I can play Pandora in the car, I listen to music probably half the time.
In my old car, I used satellite radio a lot, and I had a subscription. This car, I got like 3 months for free, so I'm not going to renew the subscription because I have Pandora and I have my phone, and it's just easier to play that kind of stuff. Poor FM radio, I don't listen to it as often anymore because I don't have to. Maybe I'll put on Z100 if I was driving in the morning, just like, you know, from high school days and stuff. But I really don't listen to it anymore.
Now, I want to say like 90% of my listening is just XM.
I can tell you where the differences happen. In the old car, we had the radio, and we could only listen to radio. And we had handfuls of stations that we could listen to, and not anything that she always liked. So she was constantly pressing the button.
Next.
I would sit in the car for the entire ride with her pressing the button, pressing the button, pressing the button until she found something. Now she finds something with these stations we've got and just sticks with it. So I don't go as haywire and crazy over her clicking the button.
Right, and I do more singing out loud in the car.
So you can see with these people who have the newest cars, you know, like I said, they have these options and they use these options. And you can see that here. We asked people of all the different items in their car, which one do you use the most? And you see on the left that people with cars from 2009 and earlier, the audio device that they use the most is their AM/FM radio, 63%. It's 16 percentage points lower, 47%, for the AM/FM radio for people with newer cars, cars from 2010 and forward. So actually a majority of people with cars 2010 and newer said something else other than AM/FM radio is what they use the most in the radio in their car environment. And so you see there's a big difference there. And all of this relates to where things are going, and that is having a connected car with easy integration between the phone or at least a wireless system and the car. And the change is happening. It's happening slowly, of course, because cars only really turn over maybe 8 to 9% per year. But you can really see the differences. Oh, I forgot this point. A huge driver of the difference is this answer to what do you listen to most if you said you were a subscriber to SiriusXM. If you said you were a subscriber to SiriusXM, 55% of them said SiriusXM is what they use the most. If you're getting it and you're paying for it, you're pretty much using SiriusXM. And you know, it's funny because years ago, that's what we talked about a lot at these conferences was SiriusXM, and it sort of faded away as a topic, but it's a major big deal, and it's rolling off in every new car pretty much, and it's available as a free trial, and yet not what we concentrate on as much. But with regard to having a connected car, we asked, you know, do you have one of these systems that easily integrates your phone or wireless system into your car? And of course, that's where you see the difference. It's still only 22% of people with cars from 2010 and forward saying they have them, but only 4%, as you might imagine, for older cars. And that's really where you see the difference. So let's briefly go back to one of our interviewers and ask the question, what's it like to have one of these modern systems in your car? Is it different? Let's hear what she says.
Oh, it's miles different. It's so convenient for me to play music and to navigate, to use the GPS. It's just more relaxing experience rather than looking at the GPS or the phone and then like trying to figure out where I am. It kind of just tells you everything on the dashboard, which is great for me because I don't need to be distracted while I'm driving.
Our prior car was 12 years old, so or maybe 13 years old now. So. Going from what we had to what we've got now, it was, you know, like in space age.
Do you think you could go back to having?
Absolutely not.
No way. No way.
No.
Once you're using it, once you've got it, there's no way you could ever go back.
And I think that's something that I think we tend to forget. You know, the average car on the road is 11 years old. And so when most, and it was the case 12 or 13 years, they said, for them. And so when people get a new car, they're typically replacing a car that's really old. And it's a car that didn't have much in the way of technology and one that probably only had an AM/FM radio and probably a CD player or in some cases a cassette deck in them. So I compare the experience of getting a new car really to this sort of experience.
Kansas anymore.
For these people getting a new car, it's as shocking as walking out of a black and white world and into a world of technicolor. Like Dorothy, they encounter what I call a barrage of new. They have all these new options, and they, in many cases, they paid for these new options, and they're going to use these new options. The relationship to AM/FM radio changes mostly because people have new choices. They don't abandon radio, as you see. They expand, and they change the time that they spend with different options. We didn't ask in our study about satisfaction with all the new choices, but those interviews don't really leave much doubt. People love having an infinite dial available to them. And I've 48 seconds left. Am I supposed to take questions or just move along? If there are any questions, I'm happy to take. Yep, there is a question. Take very quick questions. Sprint, John. Straight back. You call that sprinting?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. There are lots of operating systems already out there, and we've heard from lots of other companies that have already integrated with them. What's your view on Android Audio and sort of Apple's CarPlay? Do you think the future is only those two?
Well, I'm not really. I'm more of a survey researcher than a technologist. I would say, though, based on what understanding of consumer behavior, I do believe that the consumers are not going to sit easily with Toyota having a different system than Ford and different system than GM, et cetera. I do think the future, frankly, is when you buy your car, they're going to say, what do you want, Apple or Google or Android? Which system do you want? And they'll just plop that into your phone, is because that's what they're used to. But I'm not the world's expert on all the telematics discussions and technology, et cetera. But I do think the consumer will push for something they're familiar with and something that's very easily integrated with what they're already used to on their phones. And is that it? Thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of the conference.